In James, the scripture reading that we just had, that Brandon read there in James chapter 1, James talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty as if a man were looking in a mirror. In the beginning of the year, a lot of folks will look in the mirror and they'll say, you know, now's a good time to make a change, and I need to be a new me. And we think about that with regard to our health, and sometimes advertisers and businesses want you to think about a new you at the beginning of a new year, especially with regard to maybe health products or cosmetics or products that deal with dieting, products that deal with exercise. And so those advertisers you'll see every year in January, you'll see the diet programs will come on, Nutrisystem will be there, there'll be businesses that will be advertising, especially along the lines of health lines and those types of things. And they want you to be thinking about, now's a good time for a new you. Lose weight, get healthier, that type of thing. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. We do that at this time of the year because of the New Year's resolutions. But more importantly, I want us to think about the matter of God is looking for a new you. He wants us to be new and different. He wants us to be challenged to change our heart and to change our life. If you'll turn with me this evening to the book of Ezekiel, before we look at our lesson this evening, I want us to be thinking about how that even before the New Testament time, God, through Ezekiel, on three occasions in that book, talks about a new you. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Ezekiel is talking to God's people during the Babylonian captivity, and he's talking about how that in the past they have neglected God, they have engaged in things, verse 18, that are detestable. One day God is going to take those things away. After the Babylonian captivity, they will learn their lesson, they will change their attitude. In verse 19, I will give them one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, that is, the hardened, prideful heart that doesn't accept the Word of God, and I will give them a heart of flesh, and they will walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Notice that I will put a new spirit within you, and they would be changed. Turn with me to chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18, the well-known chapter where Ezekiel talks about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This chapter is primarily about the personal responsibility of each individual. We do not inherit the good or the bad from someone else. Each of those things is what we do, and we are responsible for good and for bad. We're not judged by what somebody else is doing, but for what we're doing. Well-known chapter along those lines. And in chapter 18 and verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions wherein you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God wants a new you. He wants a new heart, a new attitude. Turn with me to chapter 36 of Ezekiel and verse 26. Now is a good time to be thinking about making some changes spiritually. I want us to think this evening about a new you for a new year. What will that involve? What will that mean? What will be involved in getting that into place in our lives? In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, this is similar to the passage in chapter 11, where after leaving God and sinning and profaning God's name, verse 23, after doing their own ways and walking in their own ways, they would come back to God. In verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I will give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I want to talk this evening about a new you and a new me. And that may involve becoming a Christian. It may involve being a Christian but making some changes. What are some things that we can do at the beginning of this year to be the new spirit verse 36. The new heart, the new spirit. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. What will it take for us to begin a person, to be a person who allows the Spirit of God to dwell in us and work in us? What kind of changes are we going to have to make? Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. We still have a problem with idolatry today. Shannon and Jake and I were talking a little bit this morning about how many will make an idol out of sports or out of material things and doing other things on Sunday rather than worshiping God. And while there's a time and place for that, it seems like it gets out of hand. And so there are those who still have idols in their heart even today, and they need to be a new you. Well, turn with me to the New Testament, and I would suggest a few things this evening. I want to talk about how that being a new you would involve a new life, a new rule of faith, a new way of thinking, and then finally, a new hope. First of all, a new you begins with a new life. We need to change our relationship. Even in this reading that we had here in Ezekiel, we find that these people were in sin, they had lived in sin, and to be changed, they're going to have to come out of that. They're going to have to be cleansed. They're going to have to change their relationship. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A new you begins with a new life, a new relationship in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about how that if we're in Christ, we're a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, wherefore if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. Now back up to verse 11. Paul says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. One day we're going to have to face the judgment day. And we need to be fearful of that day. We need to be fearful of the Lord. And knowing that, Paul says, we persuade men. Paul went out and preached the gospel whenever he could and wherever he could, because he knew that a judgment day was coming. And in order to stand right with God, we have to be in Christ. And so he says in verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. We've got to be in Christ. We're going to talk about how that's accomplished in just a moment. But a new you begins with being in Christ. If someone is not in Christ, he's out of Christ. He's lost. Lost in sin. And we need to be in Christ. Look at verse 18. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, but all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us, that is the apostles, the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means that you're brought back together with someone. Just like Jacob and Esau, eventually they were reconciled to each other after splitting for years and after being at odds for years. They reconciled later. So in verse 18, if there's sin in my life, I need to get that removed so that I can be reconciled with God. Look at verse 19. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. I hear and I believe and I obey the gospel. That's what allows me to be in Christ. That's what allows me to take those steps. Verse 20, we are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. As through God were entreating us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he was made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, an acceptable time I hearken unto thee, and in a day of salvation did I succor thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Think about it. If you're not a Christian and you need to be baptized into Christ, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to be a new you, to become a new creature in Christ. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We see the importance of this in Ephesians chapter 2 when the Apostle Paul talks about someone who's outside of Christ, the terrible and negative condition that they're in. Paul is talking about the Gentile world here. And before they became Christians, they were living in sin. And we find in verse 12 that they are without hope, no hope, and without God in the world. Think about that condition. Think about the condition of many in this community and around the world without God and without hope. They need to become a new you. They need to be changed. The pagan Gentile world of the Apostle Paul was immoral. They were not ready for the judgment day. They were living a life of immorality. In Romans chapter 1, the terrible sinful things that they were doing were mentioned there. They needed to become a new you. Look at verse 15. How is that done? Well, Jesus, in His flesh, He abolished the enmity, the law of commandments, that He might create in Himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross. So they were taken from this relationship of being no hope and without God, and now they are one in Christ. If you back up to chapter 2 and look at verse 2, you find that they were following the prince of the power of the air. They were following the devil. They were sons of disobedience. They were living in the lust of their flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. The only thing that they were going to face in the future was the wrath of God. So that they needed to make a change, and that was by being one in Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. The new you begins by changing your relationship. Come out of sin and come into fellowship with Christ. Have those sins washed away and come into fellowship with Christ. No better way than I can think of to begin a new year than to be a new creature in Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what is important. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that social things and physical things that were important to the Jew, it is not important anymore. In Christ, what is important is that we are a Christian. How is that accomplished then? Well, when we go through the new birth. Turn with me to John chapter 3. How is it that we change our relationship and come into fellowship with Christ? It's when we're baptized into Christ. It's when we undergo the new birth. We're all born into this world physically, but the new birth is a spiritual birth. It's a birth from above, and it involves the water and the Spirit. In John chapter 3, of course, we're reading about a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. And we find in verse 5, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto thee, except one be born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." If you back up to verse 3, except one be born anew or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so it's accomplished through the new birth. And that birth involves it's one birth that has two elements, water and Spirit. Water, the water of baptism, and Spirit when we obey the words of the Spirit. Remember back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the word of reconciliation. That's the Spirit's words that tell us what to do to be reconciled. We need to begin a new life. Now you stop and think about this man here, Nicodemus. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Jesus was talking to this man named Nicodemus, and he said that you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. Look at this man. First of all, he was a Jew. Not only was he a Jew, but he was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. Even this man needed to have his relationship changed. Even this man needed to become a new man. He had a lot going for him. He was a Jew. He was a righteous Jew. He was a Jew who knew the law. To be a Pharisee, you had to know the law. You had to read it. You had to study it. You taught it. This man was very well acquainted with the law. He was very much a faithful Jew. But he needed to be born again. He needed to have his sins washed away. And so even Nicodemus needed to change his relationship. A new you begins with a new life in Christ, and that's accomplished when you're baptized into Christ. If you haven't done that, you need to do that. You need to start off this year right with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. A new relationship is accomplished with a new birth. It's accomplished when we're baptized into Christ. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about that in verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. What a great way to begin this year, to start walking in newness of life. walk out of this building this evening in newness of life. What that means is the old life of sin, those sins that we've committed, they've been left in the waters of baptism. They've been washed away. That old life, that old manner of life is left behind, and I'm walking out a new creature in Christ. I'm walking out in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away. When was that? How was that accomplished? When was that accomplished? Verse 3, when we were baptized into Christ and buried in baptism into His death. We need to become a new creature in Christ. But I want us to think about another matter of a new you. And that is, we need a new rule of faith. Sometimes people get going in their life and they're walking by their opinions. They're walking by their think-sos. They're walking by what man says. Sometimes a person in a particular religious group might be used to just going by what the church doctrine is rather than the Bible. They need to change their direction and start walking in the right way. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. We need to realize that God's ways are higher than our ways. And we need to follow God and His Word. We need a new rule of faith. You think about the world that we live in and the terrible things that are going on around us. Much of it is because man is just simply living by his own think-so. He's guiding himself. He's walking in the way that he thinks that is right. And our nation is being torn down as a result, and the world in general. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Have you ever thought about what that means for God's ways to be higher? What does that mean? God's ways are higher. God's thoughts are higher. What does that mean? Does it mean higher in elevation? Does it mean higher in distance? Obviously, God is up in heaven. He's talking about what elevates man, what raises man up, what makes man a better person. He's talking about His Word that accomplishes good. Look at verse 6. "Seek Jehovah while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." The thoughts of man are unrighteousness. The thoughts of man are wickedness. They're lower in the sense that they involve the sinful things of life. My thoughts and my ways are higher. I'm going to raise you up out of that sin. I'm going to give you a life that makes you a better person. My ways and thoughts are higher. And we need that in this country. I believe our country is going down. And the world is going down. We need something to raise us up, someone to raise us up. What's that going to be? Not the Word of man, but the Word of God. And so we need to change our direction. "It is not in man," Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "that walketh to direct his own way." Well, how is that accomplished? Well, that's accomplished by following a new law. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. In the days of the law of Moses, through the prophet Jeremiah, God says that one day I'm going to give a new law. We're talking this evening about a new you. And that means that I'm going to walk by a new law. And I'm going to follow God's Word. And it's going to raise me up. It's going to elevate me. It's going to make my marriage better, my family better. It's going to make me as a person better. It's going to raise me up. God's thoughts are higher. And that's what we need in our world today. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will make a new covenant," a new law, a new testament, "with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." When we come to the New Testament, we find that that's accomplished in the New Testament of Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. When Jesus, on the night of His betrayal and the night of the Passover meal, when He institutes the Lord's Supper and He institutes the fruit of the vine or the cup, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, "And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you." When Jesus shed His blood, it was to dedicate, just like the blood of the animals dedicated the law of Moses. Moses sacrificed animals and sprinkled it on top of the Ark of the Covenant. that dedicated the law of Moses. Jesus shed his blood, and that blood dedicated the new covenant, the New Testament. And so we're under a New Testament. And what's interesting about that is, as Christians, we need to be thinking about every time we take the Lord's Supper, when we drink that cup, we need to be thinking about that is a new covenant. The new covenant was dedicated by that, and I need to be living by that and following that, because sometimes Christians don't walk by the new law. They've gone back to their old ways. Even some Christians need to become a new person in getting back to following that new law. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, the old law has been done away so that we can be joined to that new law. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul talks about how that he's a minister of a new covenant. The book of Hebrews several times talks about the new covenant or the New Testament. We need to be using God's word to guide us and lead us. We need a new rule of faith. This congregation is very loving and very sacrificial and very unified. We've enjoyed being with you, and I think it's a good time to say at the end of the old year and the beginning of the new year how much we appreciate you, brethren. But not all congregations are united. Not all brethren are living right in the local congregation. Not all brethren are following this new law, this new rule of faith, and so there's bickering and fussing and fighting and division and other kinds of carnal ways. And so even Christians need to make sure that they're following that new rule of faith, that new law. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We need to open up our Bibles and let that be our guide in every aspect of our life. In Hebrews chapter 12, we have come to some things that are beneficial to us. We are the church of the firstborn, verse 23. And in verse 24, we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Don't turn your back on this new rule of faith, this new law. Don't refuse when God is speaking. Don't say no to God. Don't stop our ears. For if they escape not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven. And so, you know, sometimes when we open our Bibles, it's hard to accept what's there. Maybe some of the lessons are challenging. Maybe it steps on our toes. Maybe it tells us some things that are challenging to us. But don't stop our ears. Refuse not him that speaketh. We've gotten a better covenant, a new covenant. It's a new rule of faith. It is a thought in a way that is higher. It will raise us up. It will make us a better person. God's thoughts and ways are higher than our own. We've got to get back to following his word. And when we do, we will have a new direction, a new start in life, a new way in life, and we'll be a better person. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I want us to think about the fact that we need a new way of thinking. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And speaking of Christians being challenged, when we think of a new person, don't just think about someone who needs to become a Christian this evening, but think about those of us who are Christians. Maybe we need to change something ourselves. Maybe the new year is the time for us to become a new person ourselves. Because here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks to Christians. And he says, you need to become a new man. They had been baptized into Christ. They had been members of the church for some time. But they had allowed some of the old ways to come back in. Maybe as a Christian, we need to change our thinking in some way to conform to the image of Christ. And here's why. We all have a past. We all have things that we've done in the past. We all have habits. We have ways of doing things, saying things, thinking things, the way we were raised by our parents, things that we did in and around our family. And some of those things that shouldn't be in our life, they want to come back. They want to crop up again. They want to come out, you see. And so that's what was happening here. These Christians had been baptized and had put off the old man, but they were allowing some of it to come back. And so as a Christian, I want us to think this evening in these two passages, Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. I want us to think about, as a Christian, is there something that we need to change so that we can have a new you, a new way of thinking? Before we get down to verse 24, back up with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Again, he's speaking to Christians. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 1, he's speaking to Christians. But some of them had gone back to walking in that old way, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that in them is, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man. Well, why would he say that to Christians? Because it had come back. It was allowed to be resurrected. That old man was supposed to be crucified and killed in the waters of baptism. Now we're going to resurrect him a little bit. We're going to bring him back. It might be an attitude. It might be a disposition. It might be a habit. It might be a way of doing something that should be left behind. But we're going to let it come back, you see. These Christians had allowed some of the old man to come back. He's reminding them to put it off, the old man that waxeth corrupt, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. It's accomplished with verse 24, the spirit of your mind. I know sometimes as a Christian I've had to change my thinking. I've had to change my attitude. We all go through that on a regular basis. We have to keep the new man present and the old man crucified. And so as a Christian this evening, let's think about verse 23. How can I be renewed in the spirit of my mind? Is there something about my attitude that I can change? Is there something about the spirit of my mind, which is my attitude, my thinking, that I can change so that I can put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness? In verse 25, some Christians were doing these things. In verse 25, some Christians were lying. In verse 26, some were getting angry. Some apparently were stealing. Verse 28, some were giving place to the devil. Some were using their mouths to say things that they shouldn't say. Verse 29, a Christian can allow some of those bad things to come back in. And so the Christian is being reminded here. The Christian is being reminded to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man. Maybe as a Christian, we need to be a new you for the new year. By changing something where we're allowing something of that old way of life to come back in. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and we'll see the same thing there. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Again, he's speaking to Christians. This letter is addressed to the saints that are at Colossae, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. These saints are being told in chapter 3 and verse 5 to put to death the members which are upon the earth. Some of them have allowed those things to come back. And it's a constant suppressing. When we become a Christian and we're baptized into Christ, the devil's not going to leave us alone. He's not just going to let us go and we go on and work on somebody else. He's going to come back. Remember when the devil tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. At the end of the story, it said that he left him for an opportune time. The devil's going to come back. The devil wants to come back and take another shot at us. And so he's going to come back, and we've got to constantly work to keep him at bay and to resist him and to put him off. And so put to death, therefore, your members. He's speaking to Christians. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away? The things that they used to live in, it can come back. Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Have you ever known of a member of the church that had trouble with anger? Have you ever known of a member of the church that had trouble with shameful speaking? These things can happen. And so even as a Christian, we may need to become a new you. We may need to take this time to think about what is it that I need to make a change on. Lie not one to another, verse 9, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Both in Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10, the word renewed is used. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Maybe now is a good time for us as Christians to renew our attitude. We all have to go through that. I have to go through that. Sometimes I will sit down and I will check my attitude. Do I need an attitude adjustment? Do I need to change my thinking to be more Christ-like? Look at verse 10. I want to be conformed to the image of Him that created me. Would Christ say and do what I'm saying and doing? Would Christ think and act like I'm thinking and acting? And if the answer is no, I'm going to have a renewed attitude. I'm going to have a new way of thinking. I'm going to become a new Christian as a Christian. I'm going to change and become more Christ-like. Verse 12, put on therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, the heart of compassion. Can we be more compassionate in 2012? Can we be more kind, lowly, meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving each other? Can we be more of that in 2012? You see, we can change and we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We can have a new way of thinking as a Christian. That might involve more faithfulness in our attendance. That might involve being more active in the local church. That might involve working with our brethren in a more unified way. I'm going to be a new Christian at the beginning of this new year. I'm going to put off that part of that old man that I'm letting come back in. I'm going to kill him again. I'm going to crucify him again. Put to death, verse 5. I'm going to put him to death again. And I'm going to be simply walking as a new creature in Christ. A new hope. You stop and think about people get up each morning. What is their outlook? What is their aim? People get up, they live from day to day. They may or may not have a job. They're not looking toward heaven. They're living from day to day. They are just simply thinking about themselves. They're trying to make it through the day. If it involves hurting other people, fine. They have no hope of heaven. They have no positive outlook on life. They need to change. They need a new outlook. And it involves coming to Christ. Turn back with me to Ephesians 2, where we were earlier. You think about that Gentile world that Paul lived in. In verse 1, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were following the prince of the power of the air, the devil. They were sons of disobedience, verse 2 and 3. They were children of wrath. And you come on down to verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world. Why would you even want to get up in the morning? Without hope, no hope, and without God in the world. Why would you even want to get up? What do you have to look forward to that day? There are a lot of people like that. They just live from day to day. It'll be just another day that I try to get some money to get some drugs. It'll be just another day that I try to get some money to buy some cigarettes and alcohol. There are people that come by here. I deal with them on a regular basis. They're just living day to day. Can I get some more money so I can buy either some cigarettes, some drugs, some alcohol, lottery ticket? There's no direction, there's no aim, there's no purpose, there's no outlook. They're just wandering from day to day. They are without God, having no hope and without God in this world. They need to change their outlook. And it's going to come when they come to Christ. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was talking about his former life before he became a Christian. He was focusing on himself. He wanted to be the best Jew that he could be. And in some of those things, that was not wrong. But we find in verse 7, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, 8, and 9, he gave all of that up so that he could be found in Christ. Verse 9, he wanted to come to Christ. And once he came to Christ, he kept moving forward. Look at verse 13. I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before. He had a goal. He had an aim. I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. You know, one thing that we might need to change this evening is, what is my aim each day that I get up? What is my outlook? Is it to be a faithful Christian with my spouse and with my family? Or is it just simply, I get up and I sort of take today as it comes? I just live for the day. Paul said, I am pressing on toward the goal. Every time I get up, my goal is heaven. And maybe I need a new goal. Maybe I need a new outlook, a new hope. Paul uses a runner's term in verse 13, stretching forward. The Greek word there is made up of several little words that literally mean to stretch out the neck. It's the man who's crossing the finish line at the very end, and he's stretching out the neck to get there first. It is showing work. It is showing effort. It is showing a great amount of fortitude and work to stretch out there and make it happen. That's the word that he uses. They're stretching forward to the things which are before. There's not a laziness here. There's not an indifference here. But he's making it happen. And we've got to work toward that. Colossians 3 and verse 1, setting our minds on things that are above. Maybe we need to change our outlook. Maybe now is a good time at the beginning of the year to say, look, I've got a new outlook in life and a new aim and a new goal. It might be that I need to become a Christian this evening, or I might need to change my attitude as a Christian, but I am going to live for God, and the goal is going to be heavenly from this day forward. In verse 14, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. My goal is not going to be money. My goal is not going to be my job. My goal is not my education only. All of those things are stepping stones. They're fine, but that's not my goal. My goal is the high calling of God in Christ. And whatever changes I need to make in my life, I'm going to do that. In Revelation chapter 3, turn with me there, we read about a new name and a new home. We need to live in such a way that we're going to be there one day. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 12, after John had been talking to the church at Philadelphia, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out from there no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and my own new name. John is not saying there in verse 12 that if my name is Chris, and so in heaven my name's going to be Peter or something. He's saying there the new name. It's not that you're given a new name, John versus Mark or versus Peter or Shannon or something like that. The new name there is symbolic of a new fellowship, a new relationship with God, and it's going to be in the new Jerusalem. Turn with me to chapter 21. Won't it be nice one day where we will spend eternity in a place where there's no sickness, no tears? You think about people get up each day in this world, and often they're surrounded by sickness and sin and sorrow and all kinds of terrible things. They just get up without God, no hope, and without God in the world. If they would turn their lives around, they could have a new aim, a new hope, a new outlook, and a place one day that they could go where none of those things are. In Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, John saw a new heaven and a new earth. It's heaven. It's heaven. And you come down to verse 4. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. The first things are passed away. One day we'll be able to be in a place, having lived faithfully, where none of those negative things are anymore. That's what our new aim should be in this life. We're shooting for that. That's our goal. I'm stretching out, Paul says, toward that goal. So many people need that today. We can help them by giving them the gospel. We need to change our outlook. It needs to be heavenward rather than me or rather than this life. And it's accomplished with a new focus. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. We need to change our focus. My focus is not going to be on the things of this life. My focus is not going to be on me, what makes me happy. My focus is going to be on pleasing God and what makes God happy. And each day that I live, I'm going to live as a faithful Christian spouse, a faithful Christian member of the Lord's body. I'm going to change my focus. In the past, it's been on me. In the past, it's been on what makes me happy and what makes me feel good. In the future, from this day forward, I'm going to be a new person. I'm going to change my focus. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. but according to His promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm going to change my outlook. I'm going to change my aim. So back up to verse 12. Looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to His promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, look at verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, you see, I'm going to change my focus. I'm going to change where I'm looking. I'm going to change my goal. Give diligence that you may be found in peace without spot and blameless in His sight. I'm going to live right. I'm changing my focus. I'm changing my outlook because I want to go to that new heaven and new earth. I want to go to that place where there's no sin and sickness and sorrow. So in this life, I'm going to live without spot and without blemish. I'm going to change my outlook. I'm going to change my focus. I'm going to change the way that I live so that one day I can have that new name. I can have that new home in heaven. What am I going to need to do? Verse 9. I'm going to need to repent. I'm going to need to repent and make some changes. A new hope. And so what a great way to begin a new year. Do you need to change something in your life? Do you need to change your relationship so that you can come into fellowship with Christ? Do you need to be born again of water and spirit? The water is ready. The garments are ready. We can do that right now where we bury that old man of yours and crucify that old man and be born anew. And even Nicodemus, who had many good things going for him, he still needed to do that. We all need to do that. Jesus said, except one be born anew, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It must be for all of us. Do you need to change your relationship through a new birth? Do you need to change your rule of faith? In the past, we've been walking by the way we think and the way we feel and what we think is right or what we've been taught in the past or what we've heard. We're going to walk by that new testament, that new covenant, the higher ways of God, the higher thoughts of God that will raise us up. Do we need a new way of thinking? Sometimes as a Christian, we let that old man come back in. Do we need to have a renewed spirit and conform our thinking to Christ? And do we need to change our outlook and our aim? It's easy as we walk in this life to get focused on the things of this life where we're looking out horizontally. We need to be looking vertically up to God. We need to keep our minds on the things that are above. Do we need to change our outlook? Do we need to change our heavenly aim? We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. You can be a new you at the beginning of this new year. It's up to you. One of the passages that we began with there in Ezekiel, God says that I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And then the next verse says, but you have to put away that sin. And so it's up to you. God's not going to force us to become a new person. We have to look in that mirror and we have to make that change. In the book of James, looking into God's Word is like looking into a mirror, but God's not going to force you to take that look. When you step in front of the mirror and you see you and you say, you know, I want a new you. I need to make a change. I don't like my hairstyle, so I'm going to change that. I don't like the way I look in some way, so I'm going to make a change. It's up to us. We do that physically. It's up to us. We need to do that spiritually. We need to make those changes. God's not going to force us. If you need to go through that new birth, why not do that this evening? Start a new way of life. Start a new direction, walking by God's Word. Start a new way of thinking. Start a new hope and a new heavenly aim. If we can encourage you this evening to do that, why would you come as we stand and sing?
I hear